Morning, everyone. God bless each one. Thank you for being here, and thank you so far for the song leading service, Brother Myron, and opening message, Brother James. Children's lesson, Brother Joshua, was very good, very encouraging, and I'm already strengthened in my faith, and I'm already encouraged, and it's only an hour in, so we're we praise the Lord for His greatness. The title of my message this morning is Strengthening Our Marriage Relationships. So I'm hoping that by the end of this sermon, you'll be able to be strengthened in your marriage relationship. You'll appreciate each other more, and you'll love each other more, and be more encouraged to bless one another, and be happier together. And the verse that I'm going to start off with is out of Hebrews 13:4. And it says there, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So before we get into it, let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and merciful Lord, we come before You this morning, and we are so grateful that, Lord, You have wrought such a great salvation in many of our lives here. And Lord, that You have given us a purpose to live and a reason to keep going. And that is to bring You honor and glory and to continue to walk faithfully to You and to live our life here in this world, to be a blessing to others and to serve You with all of our hearts. Lord, I thank You for the marriage relationships represented here this morning. And I pray that You would bless each one. Lord, where there is strength that needs to be, where we need to be strengthened, I pray that You would give us strength. Where we need to just submit and surrender ourselves more to each other and to You, I pray that You would help us to do just that. Lord, we seek wisdom in this, on this topic, Lord, and we thank You for our marriages. We are blessed, and we believe that it is holy, and we believe that it is sacred, and that You honor marriage, and Your word says that You do. And here we are, Lord, 7 married couples, and we seek You, Lord, that You would strengthen us in our faith in You and in our marriage relationships with each other for Your honor and glory, and yes, Lord, for our benefit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as I did when I shared about the family, I just want to start off by saying that I get to come up here and share a message that hopefully will be a strengthening to our marriage relationships, and I trust it will be, but by no means do we have the best marriage, and therefore I'm able to speak it. We have a good marriage, and we're blessed, and I'm thankful for that. I give God the glory for that. But again, we come as equals, I come as an equal, and that we could just encourage one another and build each other up. And I would want to hear from you. What do you do to strengthen your marriage relationships? And sometimes we talk about what it would be good to talk about after the sermon at lunchtime. And this would, I think, be something good to talk about afterwards, when we have fellowship. What do you do? Let's glean from each other. What do you do, and what do we do to bless each other in our marriage relationships? So I'm asking you that question. Let that be a part of our conversation today. I asked Samantha what we should do to strengthen our marriage. Not that we're on the rocks or nothing like that, but I want to know, what do you think we can do to strengthen our marriage? And she said, well, take time for the little things, like holding hands and goodnight kisses and all that little things, right, that we sometimes neglect. And I'm just thinking about, well, that's good. Let's do that. I agree. I will endeavor to do better. And I'm sure she will too, and we have them. See, sometimes when the preacher prepares a message, he gets the most out of it. And so it's actually strengthened our marriage just studying this. And so it's been good. When we take time for the little things. I just had to think. Let's watch for PDA. Who knows what PDA is? Public display of affection. Sometimes it can go too far. Don't want to go to jail for PDA. Public display of affection. No, it's a blessing. It's a blessing, but all things with measure, right? We can go too far. Sometimes newlyweds go a little far, right? But it's okay. It's a blessing. So ask your wife or your husband on your way home today, what can we do to strengthen our marriage? See what happens. And listen to each other and bless each other in that. And work together. Let's work together as a whole. That we would be a small body of believers that is focused on the family and focused on our marriages and our strong marriage relationships. That would be a blessing. Because marriage is worth contending for. Right? Marriage is worth fighting for. And if we will have happy marriages, we will have happy homes. And I believe that is a consistent testimony. Where there's a solid, stable, happy marriage, there is a solid, stable, happy home. So let's work on our marriages. Sometimes people come up to me and ask, why do you think these struggles are happening? And then you can a lot of times ask the question, how is your marriage? That's why a lot of times struggles happen down here with children sometimes. They're rebellious sometimes, I'm not sure. But just ask the question, how's your marriage? And a lot of times that's actually the root. So let's be strong and encouraged to be strong in our marriages. Let's work on them. You ever wonder what it would be like without your better half? Have you ever thought of it? I have. I pray, Lord, please no. Husbands, have you ever wondered what it would be like without your wife? If you lost your wife? I do this because sometimes you don't know what you have until you lose it. So let's imagine what it would be like if we lost our wife. Okay, and then hopefully that can help us to really appreciate them so much more. I have a friend, an old friend of mine. He's about the same age, got married about the same time. He fell into depression. And really, well, he became a Christian and then fell into depression, and it really stumbled in his life. And then COVID came around, and his wife got COVID, and she didn't get better. And it was right at the beginning when people didn't really know the seriousness of it or how to work with it. The hospital put a ventilator on her, and she wouldn't get better. And it didn't take long, and then he had her in his arms, and she was breathing her last breaths. And 5 years later, he's still a very struggling man. And he lost his wife in his arms. And that hits close to home. Like, it doesn't hit close to home that I've experienced it, but I think that gives us a new perspective of our wife. And I'm thinking about, how about you wives? Do you ever think about what it would be like without your husband? There was just recently, I heard a story of a woman who lost her husband in Mexico. The father comes into the house and asks the little boy if he wants to go for a ride with him to town. And he says yes. And then the little boy and the father back out of the driveway and they get crushed by a semi. And they're both gone. And it's been about a year now or something. And from what I recently heard, she still hasn't cleaned her boy's room. She can't bear the thought of even cleaning up the boy's room. Like, she's broken. And she doesn't have a husband there to support her. I just share these stories with us so that we can really appreciate what we have. We have our significant other, our better half, or the wife of our youth with us, our husband's with us, and let's Let's appreciate that and let's value each other the way we should. Do we let each other know that we love each other? Do we let each other know that we appreciate each other and value each other? I want to encourage us to get creative and do it. Get creative. I'm not the most creative person, so I can't give you all the ideas, but get creative and do it. And then share with us what you did. Marriage testimonies would be a blessing. I'd be excited to hear what you come up with. So marriage, brothers and sisters, is a blessing. We should value it the way God values it. Proverbs 18:22 says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." That's a blessing then, right? If we obtain favor of the Lord, and then God gives us something really good, we obtain favor of the Lord. When Adam was in the garden, and he named all the animals, like the elephant and the giraffe and the whale, he named all the animals. And he noticed that there was something lacking in his own life. He didn't have a companion like all these animals did. And God was out to bless Adam richly. And so God puts him to sleep, and he creates a beautiful creature just for him. He creates a woman just for him. And Adam wakes up, and what do you think he would have said? Wow, just for me. What a blessing. God, you are awesome. What a blessing. And so we see that God gave woman to man because God favored man. God wanted to bless man. And that was a rich, rich blessing. And the world somehow thinks that it's a curse. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Somehow, the most blessed thing that God wants to give to us, and the world says, bondage, game over, whatever else, you're in jail now. You ever see those shirts? I do, and then handcuffs. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. God wants to bless us. Let us recognize it as a blessing. And so here Adam wakes up one day and God presents him with a wonderful gift. A wife. A lifelong companion. A moral support. Someone who can share excitement when he succeeds. They can share that success, excitement together. Someone whom Adam can cherish and bless and care for all his life. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's one of the greatest blessings that God has given to man. And we need to recognize that to be true. And I believe that's why the devil works so hard to destroy marriages. He works hard. And in a large degree, we are protected from that because we are gathered together on Sundays and we encourage each other in the faith and in the Lord and we love the Lord. And so we're protected from that. But society all around us, there's an attack on marriages. And the devil knows what he is doing. And he knows there's a blessing, there's something good, he wants to destroy that. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And marriage is one of those things that he wants to destroy. But the Church of God upholds marriage as a blessing, as something holy, as something good, as something pure and honorable and worth contending for. When people begin to forsake the covenant of marriage, and by forsaking I mean considering it a light thing or considering it a curse to be bound under this type of relationship, I believe that is, number one, a very clear sign that they themselves are far away from God. And that, number two, it's a clear sign that God's blessings are removed from them. Turn with me to Psalm 78. verses 54, if you have your Bibles. Psalm 78, verses 54, and we're going to read up to 63. It says here, concerning Israel, Psalm 78, verses 54, and he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance line by line, and made tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity, and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. A few points that I want to make out of this scripture is that the psalmist here points out that because of Israel's unfaithfulness to God, in that they turned to idols and forsook God, which is spiritual idolatry, one of the repercussions or one of the consequences of this was that their men died off in war and their young maidens were not given to marriage. So you forsake God and you end up with consequences. One of them being that their young men and young ladies don't marry anymore. In this case, the young men died in war, and the ladies are left bereaved of the opportunity to marry. So here's the sequence. First, they remove themselves from God, verses 57 to 58. It says there, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. And then the high places, when it speaks about that, is where they go to worship. But what were they worshiping? And moved him with jealousy with their graven images. They were worshiping graven images. So that was number one. Then God removed himself from them. Verse 60 says, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men. Then the young men died in war. Verse 62, he gave his people over also unto the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. You can't win a battle against the devil if your relationship with God is broken. And this is what happened here. And so young maidens don't get the opportunity to experience the blessing of marriage. In verse 63, the fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage. Now, I've carried the burden for quite some time, and I see that it is improving. But there is quite often in church settings where you see how many young men in churches, and young men, listen up. I love you, brothers, young men, I love you. But this happens often, okay? I'm thinking about you four there. This happens often, what I'm about to share, and I don't want it to happen to you. A lot of times, young men die in war against the battle of the devil. A lot of times they do. They die in war because they follow the path of a strange woman. And read Proverbs 7 to see what that looks like. And then, here they've followed. And I don't want you to, okay, young men? And if there's a struggle ever, talk to your parents, please. Talk to someone. But this happens. this happens. I was almost there. I almost got a dart through the liver, as Proverbs 7 says. And instead of receiving the fullness of God's blessings, a lot of times it's exactly some of the desires that men would have. God wants to give the full blessing of it. Instead of, they follow after a what the devil would offer. And then it looks so good, and it might seem so good somehow, but they don't know that they're about to go to the slaughter. You'll understand it, and if you don't, you will soon understand it, that it is a real battle that every young man faces. Okay? You know I love you, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't tell you that. I want you to prosper. I want you to thrive. Okay? Now, my encouragement for you, and I actually have some verses here that I read out for all of you, young men. Memorize them. Okay? When I first got saved, I knew that temptation all too well, and I wrote a bunch of verses that helped that I wanted to memorize, and I put them in my Bible. And that helped me. Whenever the temptations come, you can say, you can repeat these verses in your head. Scripture is like a washing machine for your brain. So, we have a struggle in our brain, in our mind, use Scripture. And the Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And the Bible says that God's word is a sword. And the Bible says that if we stand against him, he has no chance. And so, that's for all of us. But like I said, my burden is a lot of times for the young men, okay? I want you to prosper. I want you to stand behind here one day. I want to be encouraged by your words one day, okay? Nodding. God bless you, young man. Okay? If there's a struggle, just talk to someone. Okay? That's been a burden of mine. I don't see that it's here yet, but we don't have that many young men, right? So we're not better than anyone else. There's no temptation that has taken you except that which is common to man. So if you've struggled, guess what? Somebody else has struggled too. And so we're not better than anyone. And I know we don't say that we are. But we can fight it with Jesus Christ on our side. And so here, what happens, and actually if you read Proverbs 7 verses 22, I just want to quickly read that. Proverbs 7, the whole chapter is worth reading and meditating upon. Proverbs 7, verse 22 says this: He goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through the liver, and as a bird that hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Okay, and if you look earlier in the passage, you'll find that this temptation, it says, she seeks the young men. That's you. The young men. Because she knows they don't have that experience yet. They're a bit void of understanding. They're a little bit curious. She knows that. But guess what? God wants something way better for you. He wants a way better blessing for you. The devil actually wants to strike you in the liver with a dart. But God wants to prosper and bless you. He does. And I want that for each one of you. I want that for all of us. I want that for all of us. One of the greatest blessings that God has given us is marriage. And within marriage, it's pure. It's holy. When people begin to forsake the covenant of marriage... My burden again, going back to my burden. So here we have, that often happens in the church settings. You have the young men, they die off in war against the devil. And then what happens? Now you have an abundance of good Christian, God-fearing young women who lack the opportunity to be given in marriage. That burdens me. That's not fair. That is not fair. Good girls, They'd be the best housekeepers. They'd be the best homemakers. They'd be the most faithful. They'd be the best. And somehow, because men are so often so senseless, they leave that and forsake something else and then die off, and then the women are stranded. Ah, you understand why it burdens me? I trust that we all carry that burden. It's not fair. But life isn't fair, right? Who shared that today? Life isn't fair. Yeah. Senseless. That's the nicest word I could find, senseless. But really, I was thinking about some other things. But it's senseless. They play with the devil's fire and are consumed in him. Right? Don't do it, brothers. Don't do it, young man. God wants something way better. Just throw that out of the way. Unfaithfulness to God results in a lack of God's blessings. And unfortunately, the effect of sin does not just affect us. It affects others. Those young maidens that would have been excellent helpmakers, homemakers, helpmeets, keepers at home, they didn't do anything. But they suffer because of the sin of others. And that's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. But marriage is a blessing that we can partake of. And the closer we are with God, the closer and more blessed our marriages will be. You know, we talk a lot of times about that vertical relationship that we must have with God, and then our horizontal relationship with others will prosper. But how much more practical can you get than seeing that vertical relationship with God and then blessing us in our marriages? Isn't that the most practical application that you could imagine? In our marriages, it blesses our marriages to be close to God. Marriage is a gift from God. And it was first given in paradise. The first gift that God gave to man was marriage in paradise. And let's recognize our marriages as just that. A special, special gift from God. So let's get practical. How can we strengthen our marriages? Like I said before, you have better ideas than I do, I'm sure. But together, we can encourage each other. So first of all, that vertical relationship, remain true to God, will be a blessing for marriage. Marriage is a picture of Christ in the church, and it can be a beautiful testimony and witness of Jesus Christ. But it has to be founded on Jesus Christ's will for our marriage. We talk about building our house on the rock. Jesus Christ blessed marriage. And therefore, if we follow his will, we will prosper in marriage. And so we can serve God together, and we can serve others together, and read the scriptures together, and do Christ's will together, and pray together. And that will be a strengthening to our marriage relationship. Pray for each other. Who knows us better than our marriage partners? Does anybody? Therefore, we are each other's best prayer warriors, because we know the needs of each other better than anyone else does. And we can specifically pray for each other better than anyone else on planet Earth. You know, we come to church today and always, and we look and act our Sunday best. And so that's good and right. And I trust that there's sincerity among all of us. I'm not questioning that. But sometimes that doesn't help us to see the real you. If we're always acting our Sunday best and looking our Sunday best. Sometimes I've seen go into a corner somewhere and you see husband and wife kind of snapping at each other. Oh, but then they see you, like, oh, I'm not looking down at that. We shouldn't do that, but I'm not saying I'm any better. But in front of each other, we're our Sunday best, right? But the reality is, maybe it's not always perfect. And our wives and our husbands know that. And therefore, we can pray for each other. Okay, so my point is not to make a big thing about what I just shared there, about what I've seen. We're all humans, and nobody's perfect. But our wives and our husbands know us. They know who we are. And I think it would be a blessing if we were all just more, just open. Like, we don't need to put up a show. We are who we are. Let's be real with each other. Then we can pray for each other and bless each other. And if you see my weaknesses, sorry, brothers. I got weaknesses. I seriously do. I'm not perfect. And if I see yours, don't worry about it. You're just like me. It's okay. Let's just be real. Because if we're real, then we can build. If we're fake, how can we build? How can I help you if you're always perfect? But if I know your struggle, then I know, okay, well, let's pray for him here. But our wives and our significant others, they know. Samantha knows my quirks, and she knows my strengths. She knows my weaknesses, and she knows my victories. She knows my struggles, and she knows where I don't struggle. She knows if my faith is real. She knows if my faith is fake. She knows if it's sincere, or she knows if it's a show. And therefore, she can pray for me. And God has given her to me for a helpmeet, and she can be my greatest prayer warrior, and vice versa. We can be each other's greatest prayer warrior. We know each other's ups and downs. And that's okay. That's what God has put us together. And let's be there for each other. Two is better than one. Right? This is why. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 8 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I love that verse. That is a beautiful picture of the blessing of marriage. Two is better than one, but three is the ultimate best. Husband, wife, and God bound together in a strong cord. That is the way to go. So we pray for each other. We remain true to God first, and then we pray for each other. The next one I have is that we would communicate with each other. If we spend the most time with each other, we should communicate with each other. And I'm sure we all do communicate with our spouses, but my encouragement would be that we communicate better. And I think we can all communicate better. There's always room for improvement, right? So often we forget to communicate even the most basic things with each other. But let's take enough time for each other so that we can always be on the same page with what's happening, at least. And that happens to us. Samantha knows something, and later on we find out, and it's like, oh, I forgot to tell you. Or me, I found something out and I never even told her. But we would do better to work on that. If I were to say, what can we do to work on our marriage? I would say, let's communicate a bit better. That would be mine. And I already talk a lot. So I wonder if some of you brothers that are a bit quieter, maybe we can work on that too. I don't know. Maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe it's just for me. Sure. But not communicating communicate something, right? Does it? Do we communicate with our mouth only? Not communicating communicates something, but it's hard to know what's being communicated if we don't use words. And so then we have to guess. What is he saying? What is she saying? What if your spouse knows that something's wrong, but you don't say anything? What's he or she supposed to think? You're tired? Are you mad? Did I do something? Are you too busy? Do you not care for me? Do you not love me? And so you can see how this could spiral down really quick, right? All because we didn't communicate, but we actually communicated a lot, but it was just so hard to figure out what we're communicating. So I think it's important to communicate. That's why Ephesians 4:26 says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So what does that imply? Why would we let the sun go down upon our wrath? Probably we didn't communicate. And there's more to that verse, and we'll talk about that. But let's talk a little bit about silent treatment. Silent treatment is a silent killer. So just remember that. Never, ever, ever give silent treatment. I believe that is a silent killer. When, before me and Samantha got married, she had a bridal party, and they asked me a bunch of questions that I was supposed to answer, and then they would ask her later on, like a Ben questionnaire, and see how many questions she got right. One of the questions was, what is Ben's biggest pet peeves? Okay, well, you want to know? I remember two things, and one still is the same. I think they're both the same still. Silent treatment is number one. That is my biggest pet peeve. And it's not about me, though. But it's my biggest pet peeve. Number two, pyramid schemes. I can't stand those. Don't invite us to a vitamin party. Hopefully I didn't offend anyone. No. But silent treatment is number one by far. Silent treatment. Because most often, people let the sun go down upon their wrath because they're angry. And for vengeance, they give them a dose of silent treatment. Whew. That is cruel. That is cruel, cruel, cruel. Like, just tell me the truth and tell it hard, but don't give me the silent treatment. I'll break down somewhere and cry. Don't do that to me. Maybe it's just me, but silent treatment is a silent killer. To communicate, see, listen to this. It says, be angry and sin not. Okay? Well, what's the sin not part? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay? So if you're angry and you at least communicate that and make things right, then you will not let the sun go down upon your wrath, right? But if you're angry and you don't communicate about it and it's irking you in your heart and you're silent and then you go to bed and you're all... And then it says, neither give place to the devil. I think we open up a door there that we would do well to keep shut. Okay? To communicate is very important, especially when it's hard to communicate. Remember that. To communicate is very important, especially when it's hard to communicate. When you really don't want to say anything, and it's good to let it out. It's good to communicate. Sometimes we need to take time to communicate with God first. And then we can communicate better. So if your heart's pounding 100 miles a minute, maybe that's not the best time to communicate. Maybe go communicate with God first and then communicate with each other. Now that all sounded negative, but I'm going to try to bring out some more positive things here. So the next one, play together. Okay? They say the couple that plays together stays together. Yesterday we were on our way to skating, and I love how the Lord just put this into the sermon as I meditated on it. And we, so we were going on our way to this skating event that Wesley set up. And we seen two beautiful bald eagles. They're huge. In an open field, just walking together. I think I'm doing a message on marriage here, right? Gotta use this somehow. And so we stopped, whoa, look at that. And it was maybe from here to that white house. They were just walking, you know how birds walk, just walking together. And so we opened the window, we back up, and we were just watching them. They wouldn't budge, they wouldn't flinch. We honked the horn. I don't know why I did that. Let them be, right? Honk the horn. And they're walking there. They're like, I don't know what they were thinking. Probably crazy humans. I don't know. But they were walking together and just seemed like they were having a date. They were enjoying it. They weren't fazed by what was going on. That was beautiful to me. I had to do some research on bald eagles. Some of you birders here, tell me if the research was wrong, but some fun facts. They keep their partners for life. But it said sometimes they don't. I don't understand that. But for the most part, they keep their partners for life. Bald eagles specifically. Not necessarily all eagles, but bald eagles specifically. So these two birds that we were watching. And to show affection, they do beak kissing. That's cute, right? They do bowing. They do snuggling. And they hold each other's feet. I wish I would have seen that. Humanly speaking, they play footsies. That is a blessing. I was so encouraged by that. Lydia says, Dad, you should use this as an illustration. I said, yeah, I probably will. Gotta do something. So let's learn from the eagles. And I was thinking, hey, we're here in Eagle, the Eagle congregation. Let's learn from the eagles. I'm sure there's lots of things we'll be able to learn from the eagles. Go on dates and enjoy each other's company. Hold each other's hands and feet. Go on walks. And don't worry about the crazy things that are happening in this world. Jesus said, in this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Don't worry about the crazy things that are happening. Just enjoy your marriage. God gave you a blessing. Enjoy each other's company and build your marriage relationships. Sometimes in marriage, all we do is try to survive. But I think it should be more than that. Sometimes all we do is try to survive our family obligations. But marriage should be way more than that. I read this, that marriages need extra encouragement during the parenting years. That is when the initial glowing willingness to sacrifice anything for each other tends to fade or backslide into self-centeredness and conflict as life's priorities get powerfully tested by pressures growing concurrently with babies and toddlers. So by no means would we ever complain. But I think there's a lot of young families here, and you probably understand a little bit what that means. Sometimes you make it through the day and you're just like, we made it, honey. Let's go to sleep. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you brothers are way stronger. But we're going to embrace it, and we love our family, and God has given us a great blessing there. But I've heard some of you express exhaustion due to child rearing, and we've been there too. Just keep going, though. Just keep going. This too shall pass. And when it passes, you know what then? Then we're going to look back and say, oh, I wish I had it back. You ever hear older people say that? Oh, I wish I could go back to that. So just embrace what we have now. Embrace what we have now. And I'm sure one day we'll all say that too. The other day, me and Samantha had some... Well, I'll be honest, we had a pretty wild week and a half. Really busy and moving. It was harder for me than I thought it would be. Just kind of getting settled in now. And I came home a little bit early from work. And it was quiet in the home, which was not always quiet. Stephen was sleeping and children were all pretty calm. And I said, okay, let's go for a ride. Lydia, stay at home, hold the fort. She's 10. She's pretty responsible though. So me and Samantha just went for a ride all by ourselves. Well, we had a third wheel, but for the most part, it was all by ourselves. It was such a blessing. It was like 15 minutes. So I would encourage you brothers that are busier, do that every once in a while. And I know you could never leave Everett at home or drop him off sometimes or something. You could probably do it. You could do it. You don't need to worry about it yet. You need to drop off Theo. I'd say it's worth working it. Pete, I think, who's your oldest? Joshua, you ever leave him at home for a little bit? Well, he's big. Just for a short ride, I think it's worth investing into our marriages, okay? Even when things are busy. There's a lot of young families here that I think you could relate to that. And I think it's worth investing into. So I wanted to see a little more blessing. We're coming to the end of the sermon here, but another blessing that I came across was I looked up what's the longest marriage ever recorded? And so the names of the couple that hold the Guinness World Record for the longest marriage are Herbert Fisher, 104 years old, and Zelmyra Fisher, 101 years old. And they were married for 85 years. She was 16 when they got married, and he was 18. I would love to sit down with them. They received royal recognition by President Obama in 2011. So they got a letter of commendation. They made a big party for them. But that's the world record holder for longest marriage. Now, that's obviously modern history, not ancient history. I'm sure Noah had a longer marriage, but this was what we can relate to. And they asked him some questions, and the man answered to one of the questions, how they did it, was that divorce was never an option. It never even crossed our mind. And I think that's an important one. Not only that we don't divorce, but that in our minds, it's never an option. It's not an option. And as long as we hold to that conviction, then we will be saved. We will be less vulnerable from that happening to us, right? Because it's not an option. Therefore, we wouldn't do it. It's just not an option. And then therefore we're not vulnerable to remarriage, which would be adultery. And so it's not an option. And when it becomes an option, then it opens a whole door of opportunity, negative opportunity, for missing God's blessings and falling into a sin unto death. So it's not an option. When she was asked what the secret was to the long-lasting marriage, she was a little bit offended yet. And she said, there's no secret. God kept us together. So, tells me that there was faith. There were probably Christians. And that is a blessing to have a testimony like that in the world. And I think the world needs to see more of that. Herbert died in 2011. Zelmyra died in 2013. Both at the age of 105. They were from New York. That is a marriage testimony that our world needs to see more of. I've seen a pattern, not in the church per se, but I have seen a pattern. And have you ever noticed that divorces often happen later in the years, like at the age of 60 or something, then they divorce yet? I'm not sure if you've seen that. I've seen it too many times, and it always kind of shocked me. You got 10 to 15 years life of your left of your life. Like, stay together. What are you going to do now? Separate from each other and divorce and figure out what to do with the farm and the money and then stress out like that and probably cut out at least 5 years of your life yet. But it happens. And I've wondered at that. And I believe a few reasons. One of them is that the marriages weren't built on a strong foundation. They weren't built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And when the storm comes and the winds and the storms of life come, and when do they come? More so towards the end of your life, when your body is starting to deteriorate and you're getting blind and you really would need each other more than ever. But because it was always so selfish, well, now the storm is coming and the house falls. They didn't build the house. So it seems clear. And the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So first of all, they didn't build on the right foundation. And second of all, the Lord didn't build the house. Okay, so it all has to do with that. And as long as there were children in the home, it seems like marriages do, the couples do what they have to do to make it through for the children's sake. But once the children are gone, which is about the age of 50 to 60, then it all falls apart. And so they kept it together for the children's sake. So that's why I think it's important for us to work on our marriages in all stages of life. So that later, when the winds come and the storms of life arise, then we will still stand. It was always a sacrificial love. And it still is today. And now that my health is deteriorating, and now I know that she'll be there for me and I'll be there for her. It was always about each other anyway. It was always sacrificial anyway. So it's good for us to understand that and work on that even now in the prime of our marriages. God's intention for marriage was for us to thrive and prosper. No bondage at all. No curse at all. But tremendous blessing for us and His children. And the ultimate goal for marriage is to bring glory to God. And the byproduct of that marriage results in many, many blessings to us and to those around us. And so may God bless each one here with strong, flourishing marriage relationships. And I hope that we truly can discuss this. And I want to know from you, brothers and sisters, what do you do? And what will we do to keep our marriages strong? God bless you all. Hope that could be a blessing and strengthening to each one.